the study session of the City Council to order at 6 o'clock. Ms. Carr and Mr. Crow.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had asked for this study session for the purpose of going through some of the information that was used and questions that I have regarding the request for proposal for emergency medical services. I'm not sure exactly when it went out, but the submission date back was August the 15th. And I'm assuming that, judging by the folks in the room, that most of these questions will be directed towards the city manager, as I see other folks not here. So I'm assuming that either the city manager can answer these questions for me, hopefully, or can get the information to me. When we did the RFP for emergency medical services, I'm assuming that this is primarily the city manager's work product.
Madam Mayor, through the Council Member Crow, that's correct.
And were there other members of the city staff, directors, or otherwise who participated in putting together the RFP?
Yes.
And could you give me an idea of who all participated in it, please?
It would be staff members from the fire department and from the finance department.
So it would be safe to say that Ms. Charmelon from the finance department probably participated?
Correct, and members of her staff.
Right, absolutely. And same way with Chief Long?
That's correct, Chief Long and members of his staff.
And were there any other departments of the city that participated in putting together the RFP?
No.
And were there any citizens or council members whose input was sought or who participated in the CFP, in the preparation of the RFP?
There were no council members. As I do in preparing several RFPs, I did ask for the input of some members of the public.
And would that be something that you can make available to all of us as council members, since it was done in a city capacity, as to who participated in putting together the RFP?
I can provide that information.
Thank you. I appreciate that. As we go through the RFP, one of the questions that I have that just sort of keeps perplexing me, and that is that how many other municipalities have outsourced their EMS in the St. Louis area in the past several years?
Madam Mayor, through the Council Member Crow, that's the type of information that we're in the process of collecting, so I don't have an answer for that at this time.
Do you have a ballpark of any?
No, I don't.
Okay. So it would be safe to say that in the coming weeks that Council will be provided with any of the municipalities who have recently, within the last 5 years, outsourced their EMS services.
Madam Mayor, through the Council Member Crow, yes, we'll provide that information as part of the analysis.
Great, thank you. And then, do you know, as you've been doing your research since, I know you've had since August the 15th, but I know a lot of other things have occurred, have you found any of the municipalities that have actually gone the other way, that have gone back from the outsourcing of the EMS to a municipally directed program?
I haven't got that far in terms of the research.
Okay. I would suggest that that research is relatively easy to find, and Olivet and Hazelwood would probably be some places to start. I read in the RFP that we have mutual aid agreements with a number of municipalities. Can you walk me through who those cities are?
I'll have to provide that information. As I recall, that inquiry was made before, I believe, by you, Council Member Crow, and we provided that. I can provide that information again, a list of all of the mutual aid.
Great. I appreciate that. And then during the past year, do you have any idea of how many mutual aid calls we've had where other municipalities have come in for EMS services?
I don't have that information readily available, but I can provide that.
Great. I would appreciate that. You know, for some reason, I'm thinking that we rely on other municipalities sometimes as much as 20 times per month, which strikes me as an issue for us regarding mutual aid. And I recognize in the RFP it says we're not sure exactly what will happen with the mutual aid agreements after or if these services are contracted out for. Have you reached any initial conclusions on that?
Not yet, Council Member Crow. As I indicated, it's very early in the process. We're just in the process of data collection and information gathering, so
no,
not yet.
No, I agree. It is early in the process, but I think it's important for council to be involved. I think anytime you talk about removing emergency management services from the city's domain, I think to all of our citizens, and particularly the senior citizens, that is a tectonic shift. And I would hope that all of our council members are engaged in this process as we move through it, because it is one thing to talk about outsourcing trash. It is another thing to outsource any function regarding public safety. In our most recent budget, where we unanimously passed the budget, we required that all EMS paramedics be EMPTs. The RFP doesn't require that. I'm trying to understand how the RFP can have a different standard of employee base than the budget that we just passed a few months ago.
Councilmember Crow, as I would want to indicate, that if we were to proceed, and no decision has been made on that, no recommendation has been made, no analysis has been conducted to date, then we would want to ensure that the qualifications were the same.
No, I would agree, but in fairness to the companies that may get this contract, the RFP says each ambulance will be staffed with a minimum of two EMTs, with at least one of them being EMTP certified, whereas right now, clearly with the budget we passed, we require two. And I'm just trying to figure out how we would hold the companies responsible for a standard that we didn't even put in the RFP.
Madam Mayor, through Councilmember Crow, that would be a contractual issue that we'd have to negotiate with the firms that submitted if we were to proceed.
Clearly it would be contractual, but the RFP doesn't even state what the budget has already required. So I don't want to come to the defense of the companies that we contract with, but it seems to me like we set the parameters, and we set the parameters actually less than we currently require under our current budget. I also noticed in the RFP that it says that there would be two ambulances staffed 24/7. And as I understand it right now, we do have two ambulances staffed 24/7 for University City, unless they're called out on a mutual aid call. So the RFP doesn't require two ambulances to be used exclusively for University City emergency calls. The RFP says that it is preferred. So again, I'm trying to come back with the idea that we're trying to say that we are maintaining, or in some cases we've had people say we're improving the level of service, but yet the RFP is not requiring them to even the companies to do even what we've already done. Is there a reason that we decided that we just put in the word preferred versus required?
No.
And I believe one of the proposals that came back has already said that they'll only do one 24 hours a day. So as we move forward, it's I still keep coming back to this RFP. And by the way, you know, to me, the RFP was done some time ago. And to me, if you're trying to set up a contractual relationship with someone and you're setting the parameters for an RFP, then that's what the company relies on. And frankly, I think that's what the citizens rely on. In our budget, in our wonderful budget book we have here, we have a 3-minute response time clearly in black and white. And yet our RFP says that we want the ambulance response time to be 7 minutes or less. So I'm trying to come up with the fact that we've got a 3-minute response time right now internally, and we're telling our outside providers that it's okay if they do 7 minutes. Is there a reason that we decided to double the response time?
No.
Okay. The proposals that all came out, to the best of my knowledge, the companies that do this work specialize as much as anything in routine non-emergency transport. So you're going from the Gatesworth to a nursing home or to the hospital or whatever the case may be. So one of the questions that keeps popping up in my head is if we have our ambulances that are dedicated to emergency services and we're going to be contracting with private companies that specialize in another type of service, this RFP doesn't in any way state that they will not be able to use these ambulances while in University City on just regular mundane transfer calls. So again, I'm trying to determine what was the process in going into the RFP not to require the same standard.
Madam Mayor, through to Councilmember Crowe, I don't have a specific answer for that. As I've indicated, we're very early in the process, and many of the issues that I believe are being raised would have to be addressed through the contractual arrangements if and only if a decision that was made, a recommendation by staff to council, and council agreed to proceed.
Well, and I actually appreciate your answer, but at the end of the day, we're really not in the early part of the process if, in fact, we developed an RFP with the fire chief and the head of finance and you, and we set the parameters for what any company is going to be relying on, yet we seem to not be comparing apples to apples here. We seem to be having, for the outsourcing, a much lower standard of care for our citizens, and as one person who is directly responsible to the citizens, I really don't think it makes much sense for us to say that we're thinking about outsourcing, but oh, by the way, if we're doing it internally, we've got a 3-minute response time, but if we're doing it externally, it's 7. And if we do it internally, we've got everybody EMPT certified, but if we're outsourcing it, we've only got 1. And if we do it internally, we've got 2 ambulances dedicated just to emergency services in U City, with mutual aid coming in to help. And with the private company, we've got 1 ambulance and sometimes 2 that can do routine services. So again, we can say we're early in the process, but this RFP has been out for a while. And so part of this parameter judgment, I think these are very fair questions, and I hope that we get good answers to them. I'm also a little bit trying to figure out that if Terry Crowe is at his house at 7025 Maryland, and I call 911, that 911 comes to University City Dispatch, and University City Dispatch gets an ambulance out. If we're using a private company, I still dial 911. I think it goes to U City Dispatch, and then U City Dispatch forwards it on to the private company's dispatcher, and then they call the ambulance. So at some point in time, someplace in there, we're adding again more response time to folks who, in many cases, are in a critical condition. And so I'm trying to understand if we've got a primary resource staff here, and now we're going to send it to a secondary resource staff that then forwards it on to the ambulance. How in any way this level of service, as we created the RFP, has the same level of service that we've currently got? To me, the RFP seems to be one where we seem to be giving the outsourcing a great deal of latitude versus what we currently have. We've also had a number of numbers floating around here, some from the city manager and some from the mayor, as to the savings that will be generated from this. And I don't think it's unfair to ask the question of where these numbers are coming from. I heard on the news the other night that the city manager said we would save $1 million by outsourcing. And I'm trying to come up with where those numbers come from. So I don't necessarily expect an answer tonight, but I would like to see how they were created, because if we have the time to make the statement to the press, surely we have the time to make the statement to council. If you have the numbers with you, I'm happy to listen to them now, or you can get them to us.
Councilmember Crowe, 2 points, I guess. One is I have no difficulty in providing you that information subsequent to this meeting. But number two, I didn't make that statement to the press. Jasmine Huda is the one that made the comment about $1 million savings. I did not make that statement.
I believe the report's pretty clear on the statement as far as the $1 million savings, and I can't imagine that a reporter came up with that number off the top of her head. That would surprise me. We have in the mayor's most recent communication on this that it costs $2 million for ambulance services, and we have income of $700,000. So those, and her quote was, so I believe it is incorrect to talk about lame savings. So if we do the mayor's calculation in her email from recently, it would be $2 million for cost, $700,000 for revenue, would be $1.3 million in savings. So again, we keep coming back to these numbers, but I'm just trying to get a handle on them. We've got a fire department budget of $4.6 million, give or take. We've got 46 people employed. This RFP and the surrounding information says that we could eliminate 12 positions. I just took 12 positions at $65,000, and I got to 780. And that was offset by a loss of revenue of $700,000 to $900,000. So someplace, somewhere, someone's got to come up with an awful lot more savings to justify either your quote or the indication that was given to the reporter and the mayor's email that clearly says that we're going to have all of these savings. So I'm just trying to get some information from either the staff or from the mayor as to where these savings are coming from. And if they really are there, I think that's great. But the email this morning, actually, or whenever this email came out, said that there would be no change in the quality of service provided to our residents. And that was an email to a citizen that asked this very question. And it's clear that the RFP alone has allowed for us to have lesser service than we're currently experiencing. We've allowed for a longer response time. We've added one more call forward. We are not requiring dual EMPT certification. And we won't have two dedicated ambulances. So I just find it perplexing that we're telling everybody that we're going to save this money and it's not going to be a degradation of service when the RFP was designed clearly with a different level of standards than what we that wouldn't currently exist. So we can say that this study session wasn't ripe, but when we have communications going out to the public, either through the press or directly from elected officials, I think it begs the question as to where are these numbers coming from. And I do hope that the city manager and the mayor can shed light on this as we move forward through this process, because I just can't imagine us giving serious consideration to this type of a contract when we're not holding people to the same standards that currently exist.
Ms. Carr.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I guess I have a couple of questions. I found the same discrepancies that Mr. Crow found in terms of the service that we currently have versus what is being asked here. So it's my understanding that when we put out an RFP, we are seeking for the respondents to meet the parameters that we have put in here. Is that correct, Mr. Walker?
Councilmember Carr, that's correct.
Okay. So so in that case, and that is why I asked you to have Chief Long here, so I could ask him. I'm assuming that he would be familiar with what we actually do have on a day-to-day basis. Unfortunately, you told me he was not available, and so I can't ask him. But why would this RFP seek to have a different standard than we currently have? What's the rationale for that?
As I indicated in my earlier remarks, we're looking for opportunities to provide cost-effective services to our residents. Once we've had the opportunity to review the various submissions that have been given to us, we may very well make the decision, as we did with respect to solid waste, and that it wasn't in the interest of the city to do that.
I understand that, and I actually applaud the fact that you will consider from time to time that there might be different or better ways to do things. But if you put out an RFP and you say, this is what we're looking for, and the companies respond to that, then you haven't been clear enough with them to say, this is what we want. So are we, the city, changing the parameters of what we would like to provide to the citizens? I guess that's the RFP should somehow reflect what we want to provide to the citizens. So two questions. Is it correct that the RFP is not offering what we currently have, offering something different? And the second question is we can't expect companies to read our minds. So they have responded to this. How do we then go back to them and say, gee, we've kind of changed our mind as to what we want from you?
Councilmember Carr, I guess I can respond. respond to that in that we've had some very preliminary discussions with these companies, and I think that they understand that there's some evolution involved in this. When we're in a position to come forward with a recommendation to council, we will ensure that prior to that, the questions that you and Councilmember Crowe have raised have been addressed. We may very well make the decision at a staff level that it is not in the interest of the city to pursue that. I don't know that at this time. Mm-hmm. We're in the process of gathering information. I remember three and a half years ago, we looked at the possibility of outsourcing solid waste.
Mm-hmm.
After we did our analysis, we concluded that it wasn't in the interest of the city to do that. Mm-hmm. That may very well happen here, too.
Mm-hmm.
As I've indicated, it is too early to tell. We're getting information. When we have that information, we will provide it to all members of council and may very well conclude that it is A, in the interest of city to do this, or B, that it is not in the interest of the city to do this.
Okay. And that's entirely reasonable. The only and a sticking point for me is that we haven't asked a company to do what we currently have. We've asked them to do something else. And so have we changed the service that we want to provide? They'll only give us what we ask for.
Councilmember Carr, I don't agree with that in the sense that these companies, as other companies we've worked with on various projects, understand that there's a negotiation process. If we decide that we want to continue with the same level that we currently have, then that would have to be negotiated and costs considered as part of that. Once again, as I said, in various departments in this city since I've been in this job, we've taken a look at the Public Works Department, we've taken a look at the Parks and Recreation Department, taking a look at the finance department, we're looking at the fire department in terms of how we can provide cost-effective services to our residents. In some cases, we've concluded that the way we are doing things is the best way to continue doing them, and therefore have not come forward with any recommendation for service level changes. In other cases, we've come forward to council, and council has made the final decision on whether they want to make a change or not.
Can I, may I
yes.
follow up, Madam Mayor? You said if we decide to maintain the same level of service. When did anyone ever decide not to maintain the same level of service? Your response to Dr. Carr was, if we decide to maintain the same level of service, we will go back to the companies. I'm trying to understand, when we're talking about people's lives and we're talking about staffing these things appropriately, who made the decision that we weren't going to maintain the same level of service? That was your answer that you just gave.
Madam Mayor, that decision has not been made.
So again, I'm really confused. I'm not going to even try to kid you and say I'm a simple-minded person, but I am literal. So if you put out an RFP, it seems to me like you're setting the parameters for what you want. If I were a private company, I would base my response, my proposal, on what you've asked for. In fact, I have been contacted by someone who wanted to know if this was serious, you know, or if you were just going fishing. And I have no idea. I'm assuming that you're serious. This is, as we all know, this has been considered before, so that it's not new. And as I said, I certainly don't object to you looking at other ways to provide the same service, or if we need to change the level of service, at least open that up to a discussion of the public. And so I have here, and I'd like this to go to Mr. Walker and one copy to Ms. Pum, a letter from Chief Olschwanger to City Manager Julie Fire, who had asked much the same question. And I'm hoping that you have also seen that. And this is a sense reasons that he gave. One of the reasons I wanted to talk to Chief Long was to see, because there was no position paper from Chief Long, what he saw as the advantages and disadvantages of doing this. I think that's really important since he runs that department for us. And so unfortunately I'm unable to ask that. I also have, and I got this from the public domain, a letter from the Fire Chiefs Association who sent a letter to you saying that they were not in favor of this kind of a move. And I was wondering where Chief Long stood on that position, because, again, he is on the front line. He's the day-to-day, you know, as, of course, our firefighters are. So so I'm kind of disappointed, again, that I can't ask him what he sees as advantageous. If we are going to move away from the standards that we've held for years and years, I'd like to know why and what the benefits of changing might be. So can you please make sure that I get those kinds of answers?
Yes.
Thank you. And I guess finally, I would like to think that if there are other citizens participating, and I have heard specifically who one of those citizens is, that in fact the citizen has said that he wrote it, and I would like to think that that is maybe not quite the case. So again, I would have liked to have talked to Chief Long to see what his take on this is. So again, I will ask that we get that information on who participated and at what citizens participated and at what level.
Anything else? Anything? Okay, I would like to adjourn this study session at 6:25. We'll reconvene in the front of the chamber in 5 minutes.